American edition yes. of the Falcon Cast coming at you.
Absolutely. You know why I'm so excited, Jay?
Why is that?
And this is Falcon Cast. Welcome to the Falcon Cast.
Just extra patriotic today.
Jay Adams to my left, DJ Shockley away to the left. I'm John Michaels. We'll be here talking a lot about the facts. You know why I'm excited? It's the regular season.
Game week, baby. Finally.
As much as we all get excited, and Jay, you spend time out here every single day, we get real excited when training camp opens. By day five of training camp, I think everybody's going, all right. And the first preseason game, awesome. The first road trip, awesome. By about mid-second quarter of that fourth preseason game, we're trying to figure out funny things to do on the field. We don't have to worry about that anymore because Monday night is coming up really soon against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Really soon, and gosh, I can't wait. I mean, man, it's just there's nothing like it. And what a better way to open the season. Monday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, there's some history there with the Falcons, and so I'm thrilled. I know you're thrilled.
I can't wait. I go back to – I don't think it was our first game, but I remember as a rookie – Monday Night Football, we went to New Orleans.
One didn't work out.
Work out good, but I'm just talking about the pageantry of Monday Night Football, how big it is, how anticipated it is, and it's the first one of the year, and you get to be on it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
And we got the good spot, too.
Right.
The 7-10 game, and they do the doubleheader. Everybody's going to be watching us.
I don't know how I feel about that doubleheader. I get it. You're getting a West Coast game in there in San Fran, Minnesota.
I'm not going to watch it, though.
No, by the time I get home.
That's my bedtime.
All right, by the time I get home, it's time to go to sleep. We got a lot of things to talk about today on Falcon Cast. We'll break down the roster as the Falcons come up with their 53, an ever-evolving roster, let's be honest with you. We'll preview the Eagles and the Falcons, obviously, on Monday night. We'll break with Bosek. We've got a video of the week. I'm going to throw you guys a curveball, and I'll give you about 30 minutes to think about it.
I hit curveballs out the park.
All right, you do. We're going to get some Super Bowl picks here.
Whoa!
We're going to find out who's winning the NFC and the AFC. Yeah, I'm throwing it out there.
Whoa!
I put it on my Twitter page, at JohnMichaels929. I actually gave the entire playoffs, who I had in the AFC and the NFC, and then who I had winning the Super Bowl. So you guys, you got some time while we're doing the show. Write it down. Do whatever you need to do.
I need a DH. I need a DH.
Nope, no DHs. Shot. Bosek said he's going to beat both of you guys.
Bosek's got to do it too.
And we'll also apparently we'll do.
We're going to have picks to click.
Picks to click as well. I don't like this whole not being able to pick Matt or Julio thing.
Got to work within the rules, dog.
I got to find out where you guys get this picks to click name from.
That's a Matt Moore.
That's a Matt Moore
thing. Okay. That's a holdover.
Okay.
Oh, you're the one. Okay, that was Bosek. Bosek says it was him.
Well, maybe you could explain that to me, Bosek. How do you come up with picks to click?
You pick the person
who's going to click.
Pick
the guy who's going to click that night.
Like, who's going to make the most impact? Who are you going to want to click on?
Okay. See, that's that millennial talk. I'm completely like lost.
All on the interwebs, this guy.
Like fantasy, like you love T.Y. Hill.
Very
he
true.
Would be your picks to click.
He'd be my
so pick. That's your man crush, DJ?
No. T.Y. is you find out later on.
Okay.
Let's dive into it though. The Falcons.
Ask Rose will find out later on. How about that?
They wrap up the preseason, what seems like now about 3 weeks ago. Thankfully, it was last Thursday night. Preseason's over with. They pick up a victory over the Baltimore Ravens, and then the big story is from Thursday night when the game ends until Saturday at 4:30, and really even beyond. The roster takes shape. They come up with a 53-man unit. A couple of surprises for me right off the bat, and I know you guys have some as well. Joe Holly not being here to me is a shock. I truthfully, and again, this is just my opinion, I thought Joe Holly was going to be the starting center. Mm-hmm. He ends up getting released, and he's not here. Joe was one of those guys around the locker room, infectious personality. On the field, he was a junkyard dog. But the Falcons decided to go a different route with this. He's my biggest number one surprise, not being on the 53.
You know, I think about looking back in retrospect, maybe, I was surprised when I heard about Holly, too. But then I started to think about it. Okay, so the guy who's supposed to start at center, or you think is going to start at center, doesn't play until the second half of the Miami game, the third preseason game, the all-important game. So that's your first clue. He doesn't come in until the second quarter, of the fourth game.
Yeah.
Okay. You add those things up, and something's going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And look, these things happen all the time, and this is why they don't pay us to put teams together. And it stinks. And these are my least favorite 3 or 4 days because mm-hmm. you lose out on a lot of your favorite guys. You know, we all had personal relationships with Joe and guys like Anton, who was another surprise as well. But this is a business, and we hear that all the time, and it's so much so that it becomes cliche, but it's true. Right. It's a business. You're trying to put the best 53 men out on that field from training camp to week 17. Mm-hmm. Whoever those best 53 guys are, that's who's going to be suiting up. And I think that's what it comes down to, and you've got to keep that in mind. You know, there's sacrifices that have to be made, I guess.
And, Jay, to your point about how late Joe was coming in, as a guy who's been on a team like this, a guy who's played in the league and understands the business of it, I looked at the exact same thing. But I looked at it in the fashion of, like you just said, Joe's on a team. Right. I mean, I'm not even – taking a second guess about why he's not playing, why he's playing so late. Yeah, I thought about it. Yeah, it's kind of weird, but I was like, Joe's on the team. And for me, I was thinking, okay, all preseason long, we've been trying to get different combinations right. in there just to see what works. So we're going to try this guy this week. Yeah. Put him with the first group. See if he communicates well with the guards and the tackles, the quarterbacks. See if, you know, Persons or see if Stone, whoever it may be, that's what they do. They're like, oh, maybe we know what we get in Joe Hawley. That's what I was thinking. We right. know what we get in him. So he's going to be one of our guys. Let's see what these other guys can do. And like you said, when they released him, my mouth was wide open. Like, I never saw it. Never saw it coming. And between him and Anton was two of my biggest that I looked at it like, wow. Anybody's can be on this chopping block, especially when I look at Anton and everything he's done. Not just special teams, but you look back last year, whenever he got the football,
right?
Mm-hmm. He was a threat to score with it, and he's a different type of player. And he's a guy that you always want on your team because he's so versatile on offense, on special teams, on whatever you need him for, he was always there for you.
I think you touched on it, and I want to expand on it, but there is nobody safe
right now.
Nobody. If I'm in that locker room and we just release Joe Hawley and we cut Anton Smith, nobody's safe.
And it's,
we heard
and
a couple of years ago there's
like
no sacred cows.
Right.
Now it's really coming to fruition.
As a guy, I'm like, okay, I made the 53. Saturday's gone. Right. 4 o'clock is past.
Right.
Right.
Whew.
Right.
Sigh of relief. Well, yeah. I can take a breather. I'm good. And then they call you up on Sunday, and you're like, what? So, yeah. Like you just mentioned, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Coach Quinn is about getting guys on this team who can play regardless, no matter when it is or where it is.
Well, and you got to remember Jake Long having a workout. We don't mm-hmm. know what's going to happen with that. There could be still more moves before Monday night ends up happening. Yeah. He was just cleared to be part back and work right. and play football again. If he's able to do so and he can come in and have a good workout, mind you, he's already worked out here a couple of weeks ago, he could be another guy that takes a job somewhere along the line. The surprise is on the other side. We talked about our bubble players a week ago. I mentioned Nick Williams. You had Pierce Burton. You had Desmond Southward Shock. Two of those three guys made the team. I'll start.
I'm the idiot.
You're not. I actually
mine's on the practice squad, so at least I got.
He's got partial credit,
right?
I'm shocked my guy made it because seven wide receivers now on the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know what the precedent for that is around the NFL, but what that really tells me about Coach Quinn is everything he's preached about the best guy is going to be on this football team really comes to fruition with Nick Williams. He showed during the preseason how good and what kind of a valuable asset he can be. He's going to be a guy that's here. Now, what's his playing time going to be during the regular season? Who knows? It's going to be a lot of special teams. If he even dresses, he could be one of those guys in that, 47 to 53 limbo that's on the active but not dressing. Tyler Starr did a lot of that mm-hmm. last year. Yeah. But he's a guy that in emergency, if something that's not really wood. I'm knocking on my head. My head's more wood than this is. Knock on wood, if something happens to somebody that's active 53 receiver, you've got a guy now that you can step in and you don't feel there's going to be any drop-off.
And here's one thing that people won't really think about is, okay, yeah, he's the seventh receiver, and because of that, there's other casualties in other positions. We talk about a tight end only keeping two, all that kind of stuff. But with a guy like Nick Williams, he could help you during the week just as much as he can on Sunday. And a lot of people forget about it. Yeah, he won't play a lot, or maybe he's a seventh receiver, or, you know, if you need him to come in. But he's going to help those defensive backs. He's going to help the special team. He's going to help everybody get ready, especially throughout the week, because he's probably going to do a lot of good things. Say you play somebody like the Giants got coming up, and they got two kind of slot-looking guys in Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz. He can be that type of guy for you. He can be a Wildcat guy. He can be somebody who is going to be tough to really prepare for, and he can be that type of player for you Monday through Saturday that a lot of people don't even really think about.
The fallout of Nick Williams being on the roster is that spot's got to come from somewhere, right? So right now you're sitting with two tight ends on the roster. You're not carrying nearly as many running backs as you have in the past. So you see how that affects the rest of the roster. And to, I think your point is that Coach Quinn just wants the best guys. It doesn't matter what position you play. If there was an eighth wide receiver that was proven his worth, we could be see eight wide receivers on the roster. I know that's a little extreme, but I mean that's really what it comes down to, and that's what he's been preaching since day one. So while there we don't know what the precedent is for carrying seven wide receivers on a roster, I mean I think it's pretty clear that, you know, we're walking the talk here.
And then give Nick Williams credit, man. He went out and balled out. I mean, he made it really hard on this staff to say, we got to let you go or put you on practice squad. Right. You know, they knew if they let him go or put him on practice squad, there's no way he would be here. So he kind of forced their hand, and you got to give him credit. He went out and did it. And in odds, when you come to this team as a receiver and how deep it was, your odds are pretty low, and for him to come out and do what he did, you got to give him credit.
Absolutely.
I'll be honest. If I'm Nick Williams and his agent before training camp or before OTAs and all that stuff comes around and goes, hey, you know, the Falcons are interested, I would have said thanks but no thanks.
Right.
They've got Julio, Roddy, Hankerson, Hester, Weems. I'm not going to make that team.
Just drafted
Hardy.
But Shanahan's his guy.
Yeah.
You know, you're coming into a system that you know, and I think that when you're a coach and you're coming into a brand-new team, you want to get some of those guys who have that familiarity, which is why we're seeing a lot of former Redskins coming in. You know, it's funny how that works, that coaches go with guys that, you know, they're comfortable with. I know during the previous regime, you saw a lot of ex-Jaguars coming in, you know. So it becomes kind of the running joke, but it's really true that, you know, a lot of these guys just want to find some comfort with guys they're familiar with.